It's only by God's grace that you are able to mother or to be a mother. We are all broken people. We're all sinners. And the scripture says that there is none righteous, no, not one. There's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks after God. We are a fallen people. We are broken people. That's why we need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and rose again for you because of your sinfulness and your need for a Savior. And that's not just moms. That's all of us, right? We're born sinners into this world. As we think of our children and how sweet they are, they're born sinners. You don't have to teach a child how to sin, right? And yet, we want to teach them biblical truth, to know of a Savior and the love of the Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. But since we're all broken, since we're all sinners, there are no perfect mothers, except my mom and my wife. Anyway, we're all sinners, right? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no perfect mother. But all mothers have the opportunity to surrender to God's grace, are able to rely upon His grace, His enablement to be the mother that God so desires. I want to give our mothers some words of encouragement, and I want this to be a blessing to every one of us as we honor our mothers here today. So the first word of encouragement is, being a mother is an honor. Being a mother is an honor, and we should honor our mothers in this today. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward." Children are from the Lord. The Lord, it's the Lord who provides. And Scripture's clear that God is in control of the womb. He has His good purpose, whether one gets pregnant or not, or when, or the timing, the enablement. And so if God is in control of all of that, and He is good, and He has His good purpose for all of that, we need to realize and rejoice in the goodness of God in this. He is good regarding all aspects of pregnancy. And there's no such thing as an unwanted pregnancy when it comes to God's perspective. No such thing as an unwanted pregnancy. It's in God's plan and in His purpose. And this here speaks to the issues that have come out this week with the Supreme Court. And we need to be praying for this whole thing. It was not rolled out the way that they had planned and the way it should have, according to our legal system and so on. But we need to be praying about all of this in our country in light of this. But children are the fruit of the womb and are therefore a reward. So we honor, again, our moms today. Children, fruit of the womb. Literally, this means literally a payment from the Lord. Yes, moms go through the pain. They go through the discomfort of pregnancy, labor, and birth. But to realize your child is a payment from the Lord. God has entrusted that child, your child, to you. I think of Hannah. Keep your finger here in Psalm 127. And we'll go back to 1 Samuel chapter 1 as we think of Hannah, the mother of Samuel. And this passage was referenced in the video for our parent-child dedication of those sweet children. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 1 says, "There was a certain man whose name was Elkanah." Verse 2, he had two wives. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 2. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Verse 6 says, because the Lord had closed her womb. It's important to understand, again, that God is in control of the womb. Be encouraged. Verse 10, Hannah was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. And she continued praying before the Lord. And Eli observed, that was the high priest, he observed her mouth. And Hannah was speaking from her heart. Only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, how long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. And Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. Look at verse 26. And she said, oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I have made. Hannah so desired a child. And when the Lord granted her request, granted her a child, Samuel, she was honored to be entrusted with such a child. And then she, in response, worshiped the Lord. You know, as you think about it, this, mothers, you have so many opportunities as you bring your children up, as we have been saying, and have encouraged the winter eggs in the training and instruction of the Lord. Mothers, you have an opportunity to nurture and to care for your children. You know, how sweet to see a mother caring for, holding, feeding, meeting the needs of that child. You have that opportunity like no other. You also have the opportunity to teach. We read this just a little bit earlier, again to the winter eggs, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. The challenge there to parents, to mothers, in order to be a good parent to your children, you need to be have a good relationship with God, to love the Lord your God. You can't pass on what you don't possess, right? And start there in your parenting, in your mothering, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The picture there is you take every opportunity to pass on truth to your children as much as you can. And you have opportunity to teach in so many ways, so many things. Just teaching about life. What a blessing that you have. To teaching life skills from talking and walking, to reading and writing and arithmetic, to homemaking, other skills like riding a bike or driving, gardening. My mom taught me how to skin an animal, all right? She taught me, my mom taught me how to skin an animal and to prepare it for a meal. Mothers can teach work skills, discipline, character, patience, kindness, confession, and repentance, how to respond to imperfect authority, how to be gracious towards someone with whom you disagree, faithfulness, mercy, godliness. The list goes on. All kinds of opportunities mothers have to teach. One of Teresa's when you talk about, when my wife talks about the blessing of teaching, she often says, I had opportunity to teach our children how to read. We homeschooled there for a time, and she taught our children how to read. Just the joy of teaching and seeing your children learn. You know, so much also is just taught by example. I think that's part of what the Deuteronomy passage talks about while you're going along the way. You know, how you handle life situations. And when you don't handle them well, you ask forgiveness and you make it right, you see. Just those opportunities to teach children, just formally and informally throughout your day and throughout their lives. You have the opportunity to influence toward godliness. What a blessing when as a mother, as you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your children see that and they know that, you have that influence toward godliness, to also mold them, to direct them. What a blessing to be entrusted with such privilege. And being a mother is an honor, and therefore should be honored. Again, Proverbs 31:28 says, her children, speaking of the virtuous woman, will rise, her children will rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Shame on them if they don't, right? And if they don't, and you're faithful, God will bless you. Be assured of that. I just want to encourage moms that being a mother is an honor. And let's honor our mothers for who they are and all that they do. Another word of encouragement is children are a blessing. Children are a blessing. We're back in Psalm 127. Oftentimes, mothers are tempted to focus on the challenges, especially while the children are still young and at home. I remember coming home from the office one evening, and Teresa, when I walked in, just her, you know, she was just kind of looked like, and told me she was at her wit's end. She felt like the paddle was strapped to her hand the whole day because of the discipline that she had to exact on the children. We tend to focus on the messes that the kids make and the ways in which we mess up when we care for them. All of the ughs and ahs, and we tend to focus on how bad we are because we're not being all that we should be and not realize that children are a blessing. And we need to take the long view. Remember, children are children. And they're going to act like children. But newsflash, they will grow up, right? Some sooner than others, and you hope that you'll see that day when they grow up, right? Your responsibility is to help them to do so. Again, verse 3, Psalm 127, verse 3. Children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of a womb, a reward. We learn here that children are a heritage. This means they are an inheritance. They are an heirloom, a blessing from the Lord. Many of you have been beneficiaries of an inheritance. It's kind of nice. Teresa and I remember we went to the mailbox one day and I got a letter from Aunt Ruby. It's like, Aunt Ruby? Did get letters from Aunt Ruby very often and opened it up, and there was $1,000 check there. Like, Aunt Ruby sent us $1,000, and come to find out, she did that for the entire extended family. Gave everybody $1,000. It's like, yeah, oh yeah, thank you, Aunt Ruby, right? And what a blessing. It's an inheritance. You have that picture there with your children. They're a blessing. It's an inheritance is something that is valuable to you. In our family, we have a double barrel shotgun that's being passed down from great grandfather to my dad. It's being passed down to me, and it's old and it's worn, but it's valuable to me. That, as you look, as you think about children, you need to realize children are an inheritance from the Lord. Whatever that inheritance you may have received and how you treasure that heirloom, that's what God has entrusted to you. Here's some reasons that children, I believe, are inheritance or a heritage from the Lord. First of all, birthing new life is miraculous. You know, what a privilege, ladies, you have to bring new life into this world. When Teresa was expecting, I said, this is kind of like science fiction, you know? And in talking with our daughter-in-law who's expecting and is due in June, middle of June, you know, along the way I would ask, hey, have you felt anything yet? And she says, well, I kind of, you know, a while back, and I kind of felt flutters, you know, and then, oh yeah, you know, felt some movement, and now the little poodle doot is what we're calling her. I don't know what her name's going to be yet, but she's just moving all over the place. Sometimes it's evident, right? It's just, and then that child is going to be born into this world. It is miraculous, taking its first breath of air. How awesome to bring new life into this world. And mothers, God chose you to be that child's mother. Think about that. No one else would do. You are that child's mother. God has entrusted that child to you. Regardless of the child to whom you gave birth, God chose you to be that mother's child. And this includes those who are adopting or fostering. For those of you who have adopted or are adopting, God chose you to be the mother of that child. Think about that. He has allowed this for your good and blessing, the child's good and well-being, and for his glory. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 says, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. You know, you think of young parents and that child coming into this world, it's like, oh, you know, how do we do this, right? Now there's all kinds of books out there and there's all kinds of things you can read, all kinds of advice. Everybody has some advice, right? And you can go on the internet and get all kinds of information about parenting and so on, but God has entrusted that child to you. What a blessing. And yet, it's not because of who we are, but because of grace, because of his enablement for you, to you. So birthing new life is miraculous. Another reason children are a blessing is observing accomplishments is fulfilling. You have the opportunity to rejoice in your child's accomplishments and successes. When you see your child achieve any kind of success, it is a blessing. From rolling over, you know, you watch videos of parents, you know, and that child, the first time it rolls over, say, oh, good boy, good girl. You know, you think about that, it's like the kid just rolled over, you know, it's like, but you're excited about that, you know? The first words that come out of the child's mouth, it's exciting. The first steps, all of the firsts, they're tremendous accomplishments. And you rejoice about it. Anybody else looking at it says, big deal, I can do that, you know? But any of those successes are a blessing. And it's fulfilling. You know, our son, he won. He was in the city swim meet up in Fort Wayne, and he was in butterfly, and he was on the outside, kind of like that horse that won yesterday, the 80-1 odds, you know. Our son, he was on the outside lane, and all of a sudden, somebody tied a motor on his backside, and he Man, we were jumping around. I have video of it. You can't even see what's happening on the video because you would have thought he was winning a gold in the Olympics, you know. You get excited about those things, right? We have a cousin. This is graduation season. Teresa's cousin's son is graduating from law school this spring, just next week. It's like, oh, man. It's pretty admirable. And his mother is like really proud of the accomplishment of her son. You know what that's like. You rejoice in the accomplishments of your children. That's a blessing. Another reason children are a blessing is just nurturing is a privilege. The opportunity to comfort, to nurture, to help your child grow. You know, when the child gets hurt, I may have shared this before, but one of the grandbabies got hurt, and it's like, oh, here, come here. You know, Pops will help you. Right past me to Nina, right? You know, it's like, no, you're not good enough. You know, I want Nina, you know, or Mommy, or, you know, the kids, that nurturing is a privilege. And through a child's hurt, oftentimes mothers hurt. And oftentimes as parents, we learn from the hurts of our children, right? God is, I said this more than once concerning our children, that God was every bit as much at work in my heart through the hurts of my children than their hearts. And again, God has a way of working that out for us, and again, to his glory. Another reason children are a blessing is just growth is gratifying. You know, just to see the children grow and you know, you stand up and they got that little mark on the door jamb or wherever you have that, and boy, oh man, they're getting bigger, they're growing, you know. Growth is gratifying, just to see your growth. If there's stunted growth, you're concerned. Something might be wrong. But not only growth physically, but to see them grow spiritually. What a blessing to see your children realize that your God is their God and that they're willing to surrender to the God that you love, and you have passed that on to them, and they have grown to love the Lord, their God, with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength as you do. Growth is gratifying, and children are a blessing from the Lord. Here's another word of encouragement, and I think this is just an awesome measure of grace, is to realize that God is working through you. You need to realize that God is working through you. You are an instrument in his hands. Moms, be encouraged. That's my desire today, is just encourage moms. In our culture today, it's almost like, As I've observed it, it's almost like being a mother is kind of set to the side. And I think in the church we need to realize, but being a mother is a blessing. I just want to encourage you that God is working through you to pass on truth to the next generations. You're being used by God to accomplish his work. And this takes place in spite of your brokenness. In spite of your failure, there are no perfect mothers. There's no perfect person. We all need him. We all need his grace. Don't get overwhelmed by the perfect blogger or podcaster that posts every day with perfect hair, perfect makeup, makes perfectly healthy meals for all her perfect children. Because as soon as that camera goes off, it's back to reality, right? And that quote-unquote perfect mom deals with the imperfections of life just like you are dealing. We're all broken. We all need Jesus. And God is working through you to bless you. He wants to bless you with strength and enablement to realize that you are not sufficient of yourself to do anything for yourself. Your sufficiency comes from God. You're in his hands. And that just again, that's what grace is all about, just depending upon him for that help and that encouragement for this day, for this moment in this day, as you deal with your child or your children. He wants to bless you with strength and enablement. The important thing is that you cry out to him in those moments and ask for that help. And he wants to bless you with a relationship with your child. Now, when we talk about relationship with our children, we have visions of being our children's best friend, right? Our child's best friend. We had our doctor, it was a pediatrician, and his name was Dr. Belt. And he told us, specifically, Teresa, you have to remember you are first and foremost the child's mother, not the child's friend. And we have visions of just being our children's friends. And our prayer is that at least in time that will happen, right? And when you have to discipline and when you have to go through the difficulties of that life, sometimes you wonder if that will ever come about. But whether it comes about or not, one way or another, you have a relationship with that child, or you desire that. And God is working through you, in you, to provide the strength and enablement to endure whatever it may be you have to endure with that child. But God is also working in you to cause you to depend upon him. It's kind of the punchline of this message, and it's Psalm 127, verse 1. You notice that I jumped into the middle of the text, right? Verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. This passage indicates that the Lord Jesus, must be the focal point of your parenting, of your mothering. He is the one who accomplishes his good purpose. You are a chosen instrument in his hand. As he builds the house, you are merely a hammer or a screwdriver or a trowel. You're a tool in the Redeemer's hand to accomplish his good purpose as he builds the house using you as an instrument in his hands. And if God doesn't do that, then those who labor in vain. I just want to encourage you that when you surrender to the Lord to be an instrument in his hands, there's blessing. And you can look to him. You can trust him. And if you're here this morning and you have never surrendered to the Lord in his eternal salvation, then that's the place to start when it comes to being a mother, a parent, of being the person that lives this life. The place to start is to surrender to the Lord and his great salvation. I just want to encourage you that if you are going through this life, whether it's work or play or whatever else goes on in your life, or parenting, whatever you're trying to accomplish, if you're not focusing on God through the Lord Jesus Christ and a relationship with him through Jesus Christ, all you're doing is working in vain. It'll come to nothing, is what that means. The place to start laying the foundation is making Jesus Christ the focal point of your life. And focus on him, to center upon him. Because if you don't, your work is in vain. Praise God for his grace, right? Praise God for his grace. Amen. Are you a mother of grace? Have you experienced the grace of God? Are you a child of God's grace. Scripture says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it's by grace that you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not by works. If it were by works, you would labor in vain. Right? It's by grace. Have you experienced the grace of God in your salvation? If not, I encourage you to surrender today to Him. Mother or child or anyone, come to salvation through Jesus Christ. Surrender to His grace. If you are a child of grace, or you are a mother of grace, worship. You know, just like Hannah, when she realized, you know, I just need to surrender and worship God through this. Thank Him. Don't be defeated. Be victorious. And let's rejoice together in what God is doing in our hearts because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for these truths here today. Thank You that we can look to You. We can trust You. Thank You that